let's come back to the topic how we met, because I think it was a peculiar meeting. Not the first time, but once we started discussing. I mean, remember the first thing you asked me was about manifestation or something about this topic. So we can start with this one. And I think it's an interesting one.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of time ago right now. It was last year. Have we met us the first time last year or this one? I guess this year. And we were in the gym, and it's the funny type how men are connecting each other. First of all, we have saw us and we just say hi and bye. Yeah. And then in the locker room, we have talked a little, changed numbers, started training together. And then we came in the topic of manifestation and what we are doing in our life, earning money and how we're living. So manifestation is really a wide, wide, wide topic.
Right.
So everyone will see it differently. But let's start with you. How do you think about manifestation? What's your experience with manifestation?
Yeah. I think for me it's more an act of active daydreaming. This is how I resonate with that. Also with the works of Carl Jung. For me, at least, I understand it the best way like that. So it's something, I mean, obviously, if you're going to the future, there is no way you can go to the future without imagining it. It's something that is very basic. And I think at a certain point, all people do that. Maybe some people treat it more seriously than others, but it is an essential, right? Because without having a picture, there is no direction. You cannot really go somewhere. I think it all starts with a dream. Not to sound cheesy, but something that if you don't have dreams, then you probably don't go anywhere. How is this for you?
It's really interesting that you brought in Carl Jung, because he's more like the type of book writer you're getting into when you're a little advanced in the spiritual topic. But to break down manifestation from my experience, it's nothing you do. It's not a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Either you accept it is true or it will be true, but you won't accept it and your life will be miserable. So for example, if a man always think about, I have no money, I'm sick, I'm ugly, whatever he will do, he will attract exact those things in his life, because it's not like this magic woo-woo stuff. It's more like you need to see it how Nikola Tesla described it: vibration, energy, and motion. If you think a thought for a specific time, you're drawing a specific energy into your life. Let me explain it. If you decide today you want to be a millionaire, but your past life you always have thought about money is hard to earn, I need to work, it's not possible. You always saw these thoughts in your reality. You have experienced money is hard, money is bullshit, it's only for lucky people, and so on and so on. But when you decide today, I want to be a millionaire, and you go into that mindset and you cultivate it, okay, I am a millionaire right now. Doesn't matter what I see, doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter who I am it right now, because we live in a space of unlimited possibilities. Everything before it's created has to be imagined, like you said before. We, every one of us, has an iPhone daily in our hand. I mean, think about an iPhone. We have a black box in our hands with a screen, and I can call a man in the US from Germany with that. I can video call, and 50 years ago, it was impossible. So it was just a vision. And if you practice manifestation like that, like energy and vibration, and you start to think the way a millionaire has to think, mm-hmm. without being one, you will attract ideas, you will attract the right people, you will attract the right mindset, the right situations, and it will feel like the whole universe unfolds beneath your feet, and everything mm-hmm. you want will be at time at the perfect situation. Mm-hmm. So to break it down in short words, that's what manifestation is.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds I have a little bit maybe different outlook, but it's still the same concept. Because also I think you mentioned that it's something that comes to you almost spontaneously. You can't really force manifestation, right? Because there are some things, because you know, we all want different things in life. Of course, some people who do not dream, I mean, at a certain point, they lose any hope, right? Because if there are no dreams, I think that's the first sign you're living in a bad situation. You have to do something about it. But once you can start fixing something in your life, like those dreams, they come to you. And in a way, you do not choose them, right? Because you cannot really choose, oh, you know, I want to have a yacht, because sometimes you maybe don't want to have one. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes, yes.
And it's also what I'm trying to say. There is obviously what society tells you you have to want to have. You know what I mean? Or you need to have a Ferrari, or you need to have a. But maybe that's not what you actually want in life. So I find the process of, you know, manifestation almost like I resonated more with the daydreaming. It's something that you want, really, because those spontaneous sensations that you get throughout the day, it's just like real daydreaming experience when you just, oh, you know, start thinking about the story about yourself and the future. That's what you really want. So in a way, it's just interesting for me how it comes to you from, I guess, unconscious mind, and how you have like those experiences. I mean, some of those things, they never materialize. Maybe they're not really meant to be. But some of those things you can, I guess, consciously... You can consciously choose it as your reality and work towards them. Yeah.
That's really interesting that you added this to this topic, because the example with the millionaire, right, it's not meant for everyone. So if you want to see it from a deeper level, then we are already talking about unconscious and soul level. Right. So not every soul, maybe in Carl Jung's works he mentioned it, not every soul wants to be a businessman. Not everyone has came to Earth or is here to be a professional boxer or an artist. Everyone has a different path, different things he can do good. Everyone have different qualities in life. And what you said about things coming sometimes spontaneously, mm-hmm. that's very interesting, because that's what I always saw in my life. You maybe manifested something and you really feel you wanted to have that specific experience. And you believe in it, and you see maybe outside synchronicities. That's when it's get a little magic, you know? For example, you want to manifest, I don't know, you want to manifest a trip to South America, to Mexico, and then the next day you go out, you sit in a train, and people next to you talk about a trip to New Mexico. Mm-hmm. So that's the funny thing about manifestation. When you see the first synchronicity, you know, the reality changed just by thinking of it. Mm-hmm. You entered a possible reality where you already experienced that trip, right. And now it's unfolding because the time is delaying, if you mm-hmm. know what I mean. Mm-hmm. In the space, in the divine source, everything is now. Mm-hmm. There is no yesterday, there is no past, no future. But our body is bound to time, you know.
To physical,
to physical. You know, we age, we need to sleep, we wake up, we fall into sleep. So whatever you want, it's already yours right now, it's already existing, but it needs the physical time to unfold, if you mean it by that, what you've said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, synchronicities are definitely weird experiences that you can have. Do you have like a story, like about you?
let me think if I have a.
I've had a few, but just like something, nothing specific that comes to my mind. They also like almost like a dream experiences. They usually you tend to forget about them very fast, but it's something that really just strikes you. Once it happens, you know it is this thing.
Yeah, sometimes you get goosebumps. I had one experience. I was thinking about a trip to Jamaica with mm-hmm. my girlfriend. And then I decided to, just for fun, let's manifest it. I was thinking about it. I was thinking like, Jamaica is beautiful. I never have been at this place. So just let's do for fun. When I fall asleep tonight, I'm imagining myself being in Jamaica right now. Mm-hmm. Next day, I went to the gym. And after I came back out of the gym at the bus station, next to me, there was a Rastafari man with a Jamaican jogging suit. And I was like, okay, it's done. You know, it's like when you're not spiritual or not living conscious, you might think, oh, that's an accident. It's just a coincidence, nothing special. I was thinking about it, so I see it right now. But on a deeper level, it shows that energetically or frequently you have entered the reality where you're gonna experience the trip to Jamaica. So it's already happened, but now it's unfolding. The situations, the people, the money, whatever you need to get there is now unfolding in the physical realm, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I also did experience some weird stuff, very similar. I'm not sure whether you can call it synchronicities, but sometimes I experienced those moments like, be careful what you wish for, if you know what I mean. Sometimes you have a manifestation or a wish, but let's say it's not as simple, it's not as material as, oh, you know, I want to buy a Ferrari or something. Oh, I want to do something like with my life. And then like in 1 or 2 years, you come to realization that you actually reached this point, but you actually also realize that you completely changed. Sometimes in a negative or in a positive way, but like you changed, but like you're like almost like you can call it like manifestation guided you, but in a way, sometimes you don't know what the path there would be and how much you can change through that path. So it's something that I think it's not about synchronicity, but more about how weirdly it works, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I would totally agree, because I don't tell anyone any single one of my manifestations, because I'm having a principle, some things in life you need to kept a secret. Mm-hmm. So, but I can totally confirm this, because in the last 2 years I have changed so much. I was working 2.5 years ago in a sales company for solar systems. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know what the word consciousness meant back then. So everything has went a little weird, but in a good way. And to add it to your point, I would say every manifestation brings its own path. It's not just like the YouTube gurus always sometimes say, you just need to think positive and it will fall into your life. Because sometimes you carry old baggage with you, emotional baggage, mind baggage, whatever it is. For example, from the depths of your heart, if you want to be a professional, I don't know, a professional football player. Mm-hmm. If you have an emotional trauma from the past, for example, you have been in a football team as a young kid and the trainer has been really rude to you, really angry, and now you're scared of playing football because of that experience, that's what manifestation also brings with it. You need to change. It's not like it's just fall magically into your life, but you change until you are ready to receive it. Mm-hmm. If you want to if you want to point to this specific.
Mm-hmm. But you are into Jungian works, right?
Not really so deep. I have heard of it. I studied various types of spiritual lectures, but not especially Jung. But I think the core principle of the unconscious mind working together with the conscious mind and this and the soul contracts, which are meant to experience, to be experienced in this life we have right now, I think the principles are same, but not the exact word for word what Jung has written his books.
Right. I mean, I read a couple of books by Jung, but it's so, I mean, he's a fascinating, you should definitely read him. You'd really enjoy. And you also, when you read him, at least for me, the amplification of your dreams and your thoughts is just, it's just incredible. And I talked to a couple of people, and I think it happens almost to everyone. Once you read him, just like the amplification of your mind happens. He almost like opens the path to deeper layers in you. And it's just what's interesting, again, is how manifestation works is something that happens to you in a way, because, I mean, I do not really believe that you can manifest something that is not meant for you. Again, and this is very careful. One has to also understand oneself, and then manifestation would be way much more pure.
Yes, you mean more from your heart than from the ego or the mind. With pure, do you mean it by that?
Something that comes to you naturally, something that you naturally want, rather than something that is, because it's very easy for people to want something in the world that, you know, you're surrounded by social media and people drive nice cars and they do this and that. And you kind of look at this, oh, you know, I wish I did that, but it's not, it doesn't come from actually your soul, like, you know, because it's just something that people do and you think it's fun to do, but it's not something that you deeply actually want. Because what you probably want is something maybe completely different. Maybe you want to learn a muscle up. I don't know. Maybe you want to learn a handstand. I mean, maybe those things would probably bring way much more joy into your life than just like those pure material,
like material stuff.
Right. And this is what I mean by, I mean, the interesting aspect is, at least in Jungian terms, something that it's how you reveal your true self by, again, by this process of, but what I wanted to ask, because you mentioned that something you keep secret, this is actually Jungian terminology, what he calls mysterium, like you need to have a mystery, which is very interesting. Have you heard about that?
No.
It's also in his like process of individuation. It's like you have to have, he says, like you have to have a mystery in your life. You have to kind of keep it secret, which is very interesting. At least I haven't thought about it that deeply. But it's something that when you said that you keep something secret, sounds exactly what would Jung recommend.
Yes. Do you have a secret you never would tell anybody until you die?
I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, there are certain things that, yeah, I mean, I would say so. Yeah, there are secrets, but I'm not sure whether I want to keep it secret until I die, or how it will, again, unfold in my life, or when I would want to make it public, or at least I could share it with friends and stuff like that. So something I also think about, but it's very interesting how you mentioned it, because it sounds to me like Jungian terminology. And also, as you said, yeah, I think maybe the ways to get to this, you know, spiritual, you can call it awakening, or just the ways to get to your true sense of self. Of course, there are many ways and many people who talk about that. What important is the process? Yeah, there are many ways to get there. Yeah. So maybe we can just talk about
the spiritual path.
Yeah, I think it goes from
it's one nice to another. That you talk about it right now, because I think personally this whole thing about manifestation it's just the small flake of ice of the whole mountain, of the whole Mount Everest. Because, I mean, manifestation is, today it's like a product which is sold on YouTube for courses, for books. So it's more like manifestation is like a word for profit. Because it's a natural process, it's a natural law of the universe. And what you have said, some things are meant for you and some things are not. That's true, and I would say sometimes maybe you can manifest things that are not meant to you, but as a learning. So you figure out it's not meant for you, and maybe because of that reason you figured it out, you going to lead to the right path. And I would say it's just my theory. I've read a couple books and watched a lot of videos from gurus from all the world, from monks. I would say if you, as you get closer to your real self, you automatically, without doing anything, attract the things you really want. Because if you see the human as not a three-dimensional flesh, but in terms of energy and vibration, you have the human body. It's a costume. It's the avatar. Right. Our consciousness and our soul is playing in. So then there's the ego. And the ego, of course, the ego wants the Rolex. The ego wants fame and the money and all the stuff we see in social media and in Hollywood. But I think if you can manage it to clean all this material stuff out of your mind, maybe only for a week, you're only focusing on your inner self, not on the outer world. You're not focusing on which watch I do want to buy, what is my favorite car, how fast I'm going to get my car, can I get in 1 month my new AMG. If you try to 1 week only listen to your heart, go into the silence, then you will come closer to you, to the core of your real self. And then I think you will automatically easier attract what's meant for you, because the blockage of the ego mind will be removed a little. So it's like, there's a really, really good book I can recommend to everyone. It's called The Four Promises by Don Miguel Ruiz. Do you know it? He's a Toltecian shaman, and in his book he describes the ego mind and all this noise around us as the mitote. It means like, I didn't know the English word for it, but it means like fog. You know, when it's a foggy day, you can't see really anything. You can't see the trees in the in the forest. That's like mitote. You have the fog in front of your eyes and in your head. And it's draining you. You can't see your real purpose. You only see the noise, and you hear the noise. You see the materialism, but there is no sight of what your heart really wants to experience in this life. And if you go into the silence and try to cleanse yourself from the fog around you, try to remove the fog, you will get deeper to your heart's purpose, and then you can figure out, What is the meaning of your life? Why are you here? So many people chase after materialism. I mean, to a specific point, it's okay. Everyone wants to have a good life standard. Everyone wants to have a warm bed, good food, travel, you know. But it's not the core of life. It's not the essence. People, 5,000 years ago, they didn't even had a bed. They slept in a forest, and they also survived, you know.
Right. No, have you found your meaning?
I would say, to a specific point, yes. But I think there's a lot more to discover. But what I figured out is, I really like to help people, and try to share my wisdom to people, so they maybe find in some difficult life situations, through my wisdom, an ease to navigate through all, I don't know, through trauma, or they don't know what to do with their life at the specific moment. And I think it's the best thing you can do is to charge nothing, but give every wisdom you have, because you always get something back. But the other way would be out of the ego, and then it's not from the heart. What's your opinion to that point?
I think it's a good purpose. Once you want to share something and make other people grow, so it is in a way a position of leadership. It is a good purpose always, because I think it's an ultimate, in a way, dream to help other people, again, empathetically, and just because you feel you can change them for better. I think it's a good purpose, you know.
But it's, for me, it's not only about helping one individual. It's more like the vision of bringing the humanity to a point where there's no war anymore, no child abuse, no abuse at all. And I think if everyone will share their wisdom, doesn't matter how wise they are, if everyone is willing to share a wisdom with somebody who is not as wise as themselves and try to guide them through their own wisdom to a better life without charging anything of it, just doing it, as Jesus said, love your next ones for free, just doing it because it's the way we're going to do it. We can have, maybe in 20, 30 years, we can have a way, way, way better society, because I think we need to bring people back as a community.
Yeah, that's true.
After the coronavirus, I mentioned it's a lot more, the people are a lot more angry in Germany. Like, yeah, young kids not standing up anymore for pregnant women or old people. It's like everyone against everyone. And if we share unconditioned love without expecting anything back of it, I think we can raise the vibration of the society. And so we can make everyone's dream a little better in this world.
Yeah, amen to that. That's a good... that's a good purpose. Although the path, I mean, I think it's eventually it's a good place to go, but then how you actually reach the place, that's the difficult part, because then it has to turn into something actionable, something concrete. And that's, I mean, in a way I also have the same conviction. But then you have to kind of narrow it down, because it cannot be forever. Once you, the more time you spend, I feel, just wanting something good to happen, and you live in this life that is not really that good, you understand pretty fast that you have to find the ways to make it better, but it's a very small, probably, ways, which is interesting. And in a certain way, it is interesting, because probably the path to a better future, it is when when everyone does something small on a scale that you can do. Of course, some different people can do on different scales, things on different scales. But once you find your niche, at least, where you can, you know, help people and help them to improve, or just, you know, improve their life, then it definitely contributes to a better society, I think, in the future. Or at least I do believe in that as well.
Yes, of course.
Right. Yeah.
But I think it's more like, it's not like, not everyone has to be a super guru followed by millions of people. Yeah. By what I've said, I meant if everyone is just doing their best, not more and not less, than doing their best to show empathy and unconditioned love for everyone. I mean, that's not so difficult. For example, if you're... Let me give you an example. For example, if you're from a more traditional country like Saudi Arabia or Turkey or whatever, or Russia, there are various traditional countries today. And you come to Germany, you live here, and you see, for example, let's say gay people, okay? So there are two types of people. One kind of people will get triggered just by seeing gay people. And maybe they get angry on them, they yawl at them, whatever. But if you just control yourself and just let them be as they are, no matter how they are, as long as they not harming everyone else. If they just are who they are, doing their thing, not harming anyone, not walking naked in front of children, it's okay. And just this is enough to be an act of loving your next. Because just the act of let them be as they are is lowering your stress level, because you're not putting energy into things you can't control. And these people will recognize, okay, they don't staring at us like we are aliens. They're not punching in our faces. I mean, sometimes it's really difficult. Some people are looking crazy, you know. You have never seen it before. But or maybe you're at the supermarket and the cashier is looking grumpy and angry. Maybe she had a bad day. And maybe she will be a little rude to you. But what you can do is looking on a situation from a higher position. And just before you speak whatever you wanted to speak, remind yourself, she's just a human as you. Maybe she has a bad day. It's fine. Say, thank you for catching me. I wish you a good day. Have a nice day. And just don't react on her unkindness. So it's a really, really small stuff where you can start with. And I think it's not that difficult to implicate these things in your life, in your daily life.
I think it's not that difficult for portion in the society, some people. Because one, as you mentioned before, a lot of people are traumatized. And once you, I don't know whether you've met evil people in your life, I've certainly have. And then you start questioning the whole premise. And that what, you know, if you ever read Jung, I mean, for Jung, the whole actually personal struggle was to understand the good in evil. Because, you know, in Christian tradition, there is this almost, not even a struggle, in the Christian tradition actually fails to explain evil, because it says, oh, you know, there is a God, which is, I mean, obviously good, and evil is something that comes not from the God, it's something that is another force in the universe, like an evil force. And what Jung, you know, find, but also you find in other traditions, it is way much more complicated, because you need to explain how the God, you know, created evil in the world, because it's something that, or at least if you can, of course, there are many different ways you can go and discuss this topic, but even for simplistic term, you can say, yeah, there's just a lot of evil in the world, just people who do evil stuff. And I mean, people who, you know, like to harm other people. And for example, recently I read the book, maybe you know, like The Body Keeps the Score. So it's like a book about trauma. And there are like just horrifying stories there, how, you know, like dads torture and rape their young kids. And, you know, like who on earth would do that? Like, no, it's not even like you, I mean, I don't understand. It's like, it's not like you want to have a sexual pleasure by torturing your child. Like, you know, it's like, so this is what I mean by real pure evil. It's not just, and then of course, these things, they pass like from one generation to another, because like a person who, you know, was raped or who was tortured, they would hold so much, not even negative stuff. They would hold like in their heart part of this evil system, like, you know, in them. So this is why, I mean, it's not actually that easy for all people to be good in a way, because we all hold traumas from our past, from our maybe parents, from our circle. And for some people, those traumas are maybe not as significant, but for others people, they can be very significant. So it's not, I can actually empathize with people who struggle to be empathetic to other people, because probably something hurt them in the past, if you know what I mean.
Yes, of course. Of course. Yeah. Yeah, it's, I mean, we're talking about it topic right now from a perspective of consciousness. Mm-hmm. So we're not the enlightened Jesus and Buddha, but of course we are conscious about life and we are interested in that. I wouldn't say it's a lifestyle. It's we are interested in the source, in the being of human, in the being of soul and consciousness. So I would say there is a specific type on this planet. I didn't want to dive too deep in that topic because then we're gonna dive in some conspiracies and so on and so on. But there is definitely an evil force, some evil people on this planet, which aren't of love and they are from evil. But these people are also, no matter how evil they are also one with the source, because everything is created from one. So all that is referring to the one, if you know what I mean. And sometimes, not anytime, but sometimes when people get traumatized by another one, it's not just because the opponent was pure evil, but maybe they had an unconscious soul contract. And they needed this experience. Sometimes it really, you can't go to unconscious people and say your dad has to punch you just because for you to wake up, because some people will think, you know, you're making fun of them. But in some kind of ways, I experienced that in my life too, when I have had bad experiences with bad people, and when I reflecting back to the moment now, I would say this moment was an essential key for growth in my life, and I am grateful, even if this situation has been bad. I'm grateful that this has happened, because now not I only have empathy for people which has experienced the same, but I know how to handle it. I maybe can help people which has experienced the same, and I can understand my life better through that experience. Do you think the same about it? Do you have an experience where you say, okay, 10 years ago I would say this is the worst day of my life, and now I would think, okay, it was a very great lesson, a very deep lesson?
Yeah, I think there are two problems here in a way. I mean, the one problem is, of course, I think this you would describe, I think, is very healthy way to look at any, almost like a stoic way to look at any difficult situation in your life, because no matter what you go through, of course, the best possible mental frame you can adopt is just, it's something that is necessary, and it will help me to grow. Because, you know, the moment you try to show the weakness in any, no matter how bad situation can get, it's like it will only get worse the moment you think about the situation as something that is unbearable. I cannot, you know, I mean, it will only get worse from this thought, as we, you know, discussed before with the manifestation and daydreaming. It's like the moment you say to yourself, oh, you know, it's, I cannot anymore, and it's just unbearable. Why, like, the God chose me or something like this? Of course, it's like, how? It won't help you. It will only get worse just mentally for you. So you have to have a certain mental frame when you go through life, that every challenge that you experience probably needs to be there in a way. So I think that's very strong. And just very, something that really works really well, obviously. And of course, the second problem here is just for me, is just as you said, it's interesting to understand again how you conceptualize even for yourself those two forces of good and evil. Because I also feel like everyone is capable of evil stuff, like every one of us. It's like, I don't really believe that they're just like good and bad people. I mean, we are obviously all capable of doing evil things. And sometimes I think everyone does some evil stuff. And I mean, not on the grand scale, but on the small scale, we all do it from time to time, just because there is a part of us that is, for some reason, you know, the opposite of hard energy. I don't know. It's just, Maybe it is an ego energy, or maybe it is something else. Again, I'm not. It is just interesting sometimes for me to understand how to work with it, because it's something I haven't found the best solution. Or what Jung, calls shadow self. It's something that part of you, and shadow doesn't necessarily have a negative connotation, I even say, but it's some part of you that has a very different, again, energy and a very different way to perceive the world, which for you can be seen from your conscious mind as something as negative or evil, but for this part it's just something that is natural. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean, and I would totally agree on that point that everyone has some evil in it. But at this point, I personally think that not everyone will reveal their own evil. So I think the evil is in everyone. Even in the best and loving and most sharing guru in the world. It exists in everyone, but not everyone will reveal it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a matter of consciousness, of wholeness, and of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're really a person, for example, if you're an Orthodox monk, and you're doing nothing than praying all day long, you're praying not only for yourself, you pray for the world, for the animals, for the earth, for the people. You go from village to village, you're praising the people, you're helping them, you're making them specific type of teas to heal their sickness, and you're giving your life for the people, for the world, for God, without selfishness. These people still have evil in them, but they will not reveal it because they cleanse their heart and their consciousness, so that they absolutely being able to filter between an evil and a good act. If you know what I mean. So I think you don't even need to kill the evil, or you don't need to try to ban all the shadows of yourself,
right,
or try to fight your ego. You don't need to fight it. You just need to accept that it is what it is. And then you can decide, do you want to act your ego or your evilness out?
Mm-hmm.
Or will you be able and disciplined enough to control yourself and to evaluate first in your mind what I'm doing right now to this person? Is it evil? Will it help her? Will it help him? Or is it an act of selfishness? Will only I profit? Will I take her energy for my profit? Will I take her money without her profiting? And I think that's a very good way to handle it, because you don't need to fight it. When you try to fight it, you will make it worse. You will create chaos in your mind and in your body. But when you say, okay, I have evilness in myself, it's okay. I know it. Let's reflect. Maybe the day when I have been a little rude to people, mm-hmm. when I have been good to people. And then the next time you go out, you see the cashier, she's rude to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can decide, okay, will I encounter her rudeness?
Mm-hmm.
Or will I stay in my heart and say, no matter what she said, I wish her a good day. I send her good energy. I wish her a good life. And I let her do what she's doing. I keep my peace, and I have done a good act. So I think it's just a matter of consciousness and how you cleansed yourself. And then you can decide and you can evaluate if you're doing good or bad. What would you say to that?
Yeah, it's something that I do think a lot about as well, about this topic. I think in a way it resonates with me, I would say, in a way that you almost sending like a love energy to parts of you that are not, that are like a little bit evil, which is kind of funny because you're kind of going a little bit meta abstract and you're trying to love even parts of you that don't deserve to be loved. And I totally agree that it's unproductive to try to ignore them, because they will probably backfire and, you know, they will show up some in a very different way in your life that you don't want to them to be there. So it's better to have a certain just reflection and just see those parts for what they are. And then, of course, try to, I mean, as Jung would say, integrate them in a way, just trying to understand why they're there. Because in a way, the thing is, sometimes I also do not believe that you can just go about your day, and especially if you pursue some goals in life, but you can go about your day and be kind to every single person, because it, in a way, it also drains you. So you also need to have a certain strong conviction and core that sometimes what you do, it's not like you want to be rude to people or anything, but you just doing your stuff, because some people also go to you and try to drain your energy, especially if you have a lot. Actually, what I noticed in my life, a lot of people would come to you and just like try to get something from you, even not like not materially, but even energetically, like, oh, you know, they just, and sometimes I do have to make those conscious choices where I have to just, you know, I need to do my stuff, and I cannot really, you know, go talk to everyone when everyone wants to talk to me, because I can, I have to be a little bit rude. But it's not like I want to be rude to anyone, it's just I want to protect my peace in a way, you know what I mean?
Yes, yes, I know what you mean. I would say you don't even have to be rude to cut these, let's call it, energy vampires off. I figured out the best way you can do, for example, if someone, you are focused on a project and you see someone, maybe he's jealous, maybe he wants to see you fail, and you recognize it, okay? And it's really obvious, and you really recognize the person is trying to ruin you, he's bothering you, whatever. Or a colleague on work is bothering you, making fun of you. The best thing you can do is just straight face what is bothering you from the other person. For example, if a colleague is bothering you, you say, okay, man, come, let's go to a room, just both of us. And then you don't use harmful words, but you say in their, you look them into their eyes, because the eyes are the gates to the soul, to the unconscious, and try to be as calmful and peaceful as possible. And really try to empathically tell them, how do you feel and what they are doing to you? And because of that reasons, you will cut off the contact to these people. You will, you say to them, for example, you are bothering me. I recognize that you tried to rob my time, you doing this and that. And it's hurting me. I don't know how to handle it. And I want you to stop it. Please stop it. You can try first to be empathically, and if it's not working, you can make a straight cut.
Yeah.
But sometimes when you look in the eyes of the people and you really try to tell your truth, the people will get it, and they will see what they have done. But you need to do it serious. You need to really, you know, straight face it, and not just like while drinking a coffee and being in a train. You need to take some personal space and then straight facing the problem. It's not working with everyone. Some people will be ignorant and egoistic and rude, but then you can just say, hey man, I'm done with you, I'm sorry, but you're not respecting my boundaries. I'm done with you, I don't want to talk to you, I don't want to see you. And then it's not rude. Maybe they feel hurt, but then it's their problem, because their ego can handle it.
That's true, yeah.
Because you didn't have attacked them verbally, you just set your boundaries. And if they hurt by that, then it's triggering their ego, because maybe they're not respecting their own boundaries or whatever. But you haven't been rude, you just have been neutral or maybe empathic. But it takes a little of self-discipline, you know. Sometimes when we are cooking off emotions and barely the verbal stuff is coming out, it really takes a lot of discipline, of self-discipline.
And self-awareness, I feel. Because it's hard. And I guess what we are both interested in is just understanding ourselves. I also believe that once you understand yourself in a way, you understand human nature, because we are all more or less constructed from the same true source and the same material, whether you want to think about it spiritually or just philosophically. Like, once you try to have like a certain understanding of yourself, it also gives you a certain perspective on human nature in general. So for me, it's always never ending process of being really precise with, you know, how I feel, how I think, what I do, what I don't do. It's like, and it's hard, but I feel like once you start, and I don't think you can actually 100% succeed in the process, because, you know, you cannot 100% understand yourself. Probably I would even go that far. There still will be some parts of you that kind of like hidden, or like some parts of you that are very just, because it's just such a complex, you know, it's like billions of neurons, trillions of connections. There's just so much there, and it's just, there will be some parts of you that is still mysterious a little bit, even to yourself. But the more you understand yourself, it's almost like the more you close the, I would say, gap in like this, you know, if you can imagine that it's like a, like almost like a game, and you're playing a game, and it's just you're coming very close to the end, but the last like percentages are really hard to get. But it's still, once you kind of, you know what I mean?
It's just, yes, it's like the the hidden special level you need to unlock through a
maybe you have to yes
specific way.
Yeah,
yeah, I would agree to that point, but on some kind, I think it's not always necessary to know ourselves to 100%.
No.
Sometimes it's just enough just to be as you are, just to be in the present moment. Because I've experienced when I really focused, or not focused, because it's not a thing you do, it's just being. If you just sit with yourself, maybe in nature, no phone, no headphones, and you just sitting there without thinking, just observing a tree, observing the sky, then there is no self, there's no identity. Then you're surrounded by everything, and everything is surrounded by you. Because at the end of the day, when you face another person on a specific kind of way, I'm not sure if Jung explained it in his books, but on a specific way, every person is yourself, or at least a mirror of yourself. Yeah. And every person is a fragment of the same source. So in a specific kind of way, a foreigner is you, but only in another consciousness, another soul, another body. But you're the same. It's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the same source, or the same. I mean, I would even go as far as to say we are the same consciousness.
Yes, of course, but it's a mass consciousness. It's like one consciousness, and everyone is downloading to that one consciousness.
Yeah, but there's just a different avatar, so just a different topological fields that we experience in the broader field of consciousness. I mean, including trees and other living things. I don't know, just we're just like one aspect of that, and you are particular, like this one avatar, but part of something bigger and broader and 100%.
Yeah, that's a funny thing, because I have saw a video where someone was in a forest, and he was explaining that many people which are a little spiritual and not at this point yet are thinking, yeah, okay, there's God, and then there's humans, and everything else is just material. But even, I don't know, the phone I have in front of myself is the source. I mean it's technology, it's nothing living, but it's the same energy we are made of, and it's, and at the end of the day, everything is just energy. So everything you can see is the same as you, but just in a different material manifestation. And what he said in the trees was really funny. He pointed at a tree and said, how do you know this is a tree? Because he explained it like that. Tree is a word which was... So he was in a forest and he was pointing to a tree, and he said, this thing, the word tree just has been imagined by a man. A man came by and he saw this brown green thing and he say, okay, that's a tree. But who tell you it's a tree? A tree sounds like it's a material world, a material stuff, but it's a living being, the same as you, as me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a leaf of a tree,
mm-hmm.
and you see the little lines on the tree, it's the same like our arteries in our body are looking. So that's the biggest proof. Everything in this universe is connected. Everything is from the same origin. That's a very interesting way to see, because if you see it like that, you can find joy in everything.
Right.
Because you know you're always surrounded by the source. You don't have to go in a church in a moshe or to a spiritual mountain. Just by sitting in a train, you can be spiritual. You can be mm-hmm. with God. You can be God, you know?
Right. Sometimes I just wonder whether some people are more spiritual. It's at least from my, you know, my communication with other people, just like other people just don't see it. I just don't know. I mean, they just don't, because I've always had a feeling that there is something more than like material world. I don't know. I wanted to, for example, for some reason, I remember I was really young. I really wanted to meditate and I was like 13. And it's like, I thought like just looking at those people who meditate, I just it's just incredible. How do they do that? I mean, I couldn't do that at like 13. I was just like, try to do that. I couldn't do it in 5 minutes. I was like, And then I just remember it kind of, I would say, started in process, like the spiritual exploration in me. And this is just one example, because I mean, I just felt something, connection to them in a way from very young, from my childhood, but not childhood, but like, yeah, adolescence, childhood. And then of course, the more I started meditating, reading on different topics, but specific on these topics, I just always felt like just the connection. It's hard to explain, because like, for example, if I explain to you, yeah, I feel the connection, you probably get me, right? You probably get what I mean by connection.
It's like I have the same, like when I watching videos or looking at pictures from yogis in the Himalaya.
Yeah.
I don't know them. I've never been at this place, but when I see it, I think it feels like I've been there sometimes. It feels warm and cozy. It feels like home. You know what I mean? It feels, it's not an unknowing place. I've never been there in my current physical body, but I can feel what it feels to be there through the picture, through the video. And it's just telepathic energy. So even this is a proof that everything is connected.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and you can, I mean, interestingly, you can come to this conclusion from many different aspects, whether from physics or from spirituality, but I think it all leads to this conclusion that, yeah, in a certain way, we are connected, whether you want it or not, whether it's from physicality of like, we are all made of atoms and, you know, we all came from the same atoms, like, you know, from the star that exploded back in the day, I don't know, or that we're literally back in time, we were like just the same bundled things as like just pure energy, you know, hanging out there. And now we can go and split into different physical forms, into different, you know, physical even manifestations, if you include animals and stuff like that. So I think it all points to the same understanding. I don't know where I'm going here, but it's just the same understanding that, yeah, we are all in a way very connected. And then of course this whole, I would say, spiritual understanding is what it's an interesting, of course, topic, but also just exploration of your path and how you relate to this thing. Because I think it's one thing, of course, it's one thing to understand that everything is connected, but it's also like another thing in this domain to understand that you also have a certain specific mission to fulfill, just because you are part of something larger, but you know, you have to have your own mission, I would say. You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah. Yes, of course. Yeah, it's a very, I think this topic is as unlimited as the source itself.
Right.
you could talk 100 years about it, you wouldn't finish every single point.
Yeah, that's true.
But for people who've never experienced what we are talking about, I think the best exercise is find yourself a place where people pass by, but not in super crowded place, maybe a small cafe where 10 to 20 people passing by every 5 minutes, and try to just sit there. No phone, no headphones. Just try to surround by everything else. Just be. Not think. Don't think. Don't do anything. Just take your eyes, open it, and try to recognize everything which is. And if you be quiet enough, maybe 10, 20 minutes, you will get a weird feeling, because you will get a feeling that there's... that it might be a little unreal. It will feel a little unreal. You know what I mean? For people who've watched the movie The Matrix, they maybe know what I mean. If not, you have to try to watch the movie Matrix. It's a really, really good movie. But you will feel that there's more than just a three-dimensional realm. And in a specific way, you will feel... that even if a foreigner seems to be a foreigner, you are connected to him.
Right.
It's I can't describe it. You have to experience it by yourself. But if you try it, sit 10 to 20 minutes quiet, no action, no thoughts, no music, no phone, and just surround yourself to the situation. And then you will get a touch of what it's like to be connected with everything, surrounded by everything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's... I think you... and you do a lot, you practice consciously a lot, like being, I would say, disconnected from technology for the sake of experiencing.
Yeah, sometimes more, sometimes I find myself, I don't know, yesterday I had like 5 to 6 hours screen time. It's not very, very good for me, but... I don't know, sometimes there are these days where I'm like, okay, let's watch a movie on my phone, on Netflix. It's raining outside, I don't want to go outside. Today I'm tired, I'd hang out on the phone. Maybe I'm looking for some books or watching some spiritual YouTube videos. So I'm not binge watching any social media. When I'm on my phone, I'm consuming spiritual stuff. But I think being the best you can without technology is a very good way or a very good accelerator for spiritual process, because no technology in the world will take the steps for you need to go through. It just can assist you. You can order with your phone, I don't know, you can... order crystals, you can order a yoga mat or book a meditation course, but it won't bring you any further than yourself can do.
That's true. But it's also, I personally struggle with the technology in a way that I certainly feel technology literally takes something from you. It's almost like technology takes a piece of your soul every time you use it. It just feels like it. And it's like you just see people scrolling, doom scrolling. I mean, it just literally feel it's something that takes their energy. It's like it feeds on them. Something like a virus, like, you know, it just really wants your energy, and eventually it wants everything from you. Like, because I feel we are going into this world where you will be surrounded. Just basically you wake up, you just put a VR headset, you just, you know, go and train in VR headset. And I, you know what I mean? We are going to this world where we will be 100% engulfed in the technology. So there will be actually no escape, almost like a Matrix, but, you know, in a way that in the movie they were, you live in this ship and you just don't even know that you are this fragile thing in this thing. But you know what I mean, right?
Yes. I mean, it's... technology is a little bit like the forbidden fruit everyone in the religious realms are talking about. But on the other hand, technology can be a good assistant. it always depends on how you use it. For example, we're recording a podcast right now. And without this technology, we wouldn't be able to reach in the exact moment we're talking right now, people from America, people from Asia, people from Russia, wherever. And yeah, it's a difficult topic because technology on the one side is splitting the society. Technology is producing, in my opinion, ego. Mm-hmm. Ego energy, because people are not caring for each other. They're bound to their phones and their screens, and it's like their soul is getting sucked into the phone, and they're like brainless zombies walking on the street, barely getting killed by a car just because they want to look at TikTok. Yeah. But on the other hand, technology can be really, really useful. For example, if people lose their legs, okay? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's meant to be for them, but no one on this planet wants to live without a leg. So it can be replaced. Mm-hmm. Technology can give people which came from war and have different or specific injuries, they can heal them.
Right.
But, you know, it's very small eyes.
Right. And I also think you don't really have an option anymore. It's like you cannot really choose not to use technology. It's stupid because it's just part of daily life and society. But I definitely want to, in my lifetime, to try to live without any technology for as long as I can, like possibly. Just like to go in a cabin, you know, in the forest and just ride by my hand, no internet, at least for like a week or month even, and just like to see what comes from this experience. I think it's, of course, it's a privileged experience. I think you need to have money, independence, but once you can, you know, say fuck you to society in a way, you can just try it just for the sake of just feeling how different life would feel. I think, like, you know, Jared Leto, like the 30 Seconds to Mars singer. I mean, I remember it was fun because when the pandemic started for 2 months, he didn't know about that because he was just meditating out of his mind somewhere without any technology. It was just fun because, I mean, it's something like, I mean, I think it will be probably the most mind-blowing experience than any drug or any psychedelic you can take, because just the fact that you can spend 1 month without anyone bothering you. I mean, maybe you can have like a phone number for your relatives and stuff like this for emergency, but that's it. Like, you know, no like old Nokia, nothing. Like just emergency number, no smartphone, no laptop, just like writing by hand. I mean, just imagine how much you can just in this, how transformative experience can be. And then, like, I think, like, coming back, you would see, because I do it even, for example, with those, I try to implement those things in my life. For example, I try not to use headphones in the gym. I don't use headphones like anymore. I mean, sometimes I listen to podcasts, but just when I'm cleaning, for example, it's just because it's just way much nicer to listen to something when you do it, because it's like useless activity anyway. But when I go to gym, like, you know, you see everyone is listening to music, right? Everyone is in their headphones. And in a way, I definitely noticed so many times that you go through your training, you listen to music, but you just don't really work out anymore. Because at a certain point, you just lose connection to your body, because you are in the mind and you're in the music. And you just don't really... Yeah, you go through the same routine because you're used to that. But you don't really work out anymore. And I just like noticed, like, once I work out without music, I'm just so much better connected to myself. I mean, I just feel every single muscle I stretch, I can just feel it, and it just feels so different. But then when you come back, like, you know, to the experience of listening to music, it feels so ecstatic for like a first time. But then you get used to it and you just do it every single day. So I think, like, what I'm trying to say is the same almost with every technology that we use. Because if you go and try to one by one to cut any technology, like every technology that you use throughout the day, you wouldn't be able to do that, because there's so much that you do. You know, I mean, phone is a big one, obviously. But then you have a laptop, then you have everything else. And then, you know what I mean? It's just...
Yeah, I would say it would be... I also thought about that. So really, it would be a really nice experience. But I think it would be really funny if you would go straight from one day to the other one in a cabin and straight 1 month, no technology. But the funny thing is we humans, we modern humans are so used to do some shit just not to get bored. Right. Most of the people would went crazy because they would sit in a cabin in the woods. Maybe they have a fridge there, okay? They're not going in survival mode hunting.
Yeah, no, just.
So maybe they have a fridge and they can cook, but they're sitting there, okay, I have the trees, I have the water. What am I going to do now? I can't shop here. There's no Gucci store nearby. There is nothing to do. I have no car. And this is a funny thing because people could live like that. Yeah. 400, 500 years ago, or even more, the Egyptians, they built freaking pyramids and they did sacred rituals beneath the pyramids. They meditate. And nowadays, people feeling lost and bored and can't live 1 hour without their phone. So it's really interesting because I think when you be long enough in this cabin, you can be so creative that you will create stuff that's beyond your capability of what you could create now. 100%. Just because your creativity will be unlocked in nature, not in a city.
And you will be so much more connected to what you really want to do. So it's almost, I think you will have like those spontaneous desires and dreams, and but also like literal movements, or you want like movements of your heart, or you know, I want to do that, just because you feel like doing it, and not because you're trying to convince yourself that you need to do that because you know everyone does it. And I just think it's like a very obviously interesting experience, something I definitely want to try. And of course, it's a good metaphor for the society in itself, because I mean, to be honest, most people, they are disconnected from themselves. It's you can actually feel and see people who are more or less connected to themselves. Like, for example, when I saw you, I actually could feel you are connected to yourself. I mean, more than like any other people that, you know, you see in the gym or something like this. It's just, there's a very good sense, you know, like, it's also, for example, it's interesting once you do not use headphones and you just, because the thing is that you try to start observing without your headphones, it's like it's people. It's like it's naturally your gaze, you know, like gravitates towards other people. And then you can actually read the vibes of other people. You can actually feel, it's like a cool experiment. You can just like go and like go to society and just to the gym, whatever, it doesn't really matter. And just like try to read everyone's vibe. And it's just like you could actually, it's a nice, cool experiment, like, you know, because you can see, oh, you know, this person is grumpy. Oh, you know, this person is really nervous. Oh, you don't want to talk to that person. He's like, I really like, you know, has a bad day. Oh, this person is nice, actually. It's actually a fun experience, but like, I don't think like everyone, like, of course, it happens subconsciously, of course, with like when you go in, even don't think about it. But I think it's just fun how to observe other people, and again, how few people connected to themselves in a way.
Yes, yes, of course. And to came back for a short moment to the cabin, what's really funny, I guess, some people would be ashamed for the body when they have summer and they go out and they don't want to wear shorts or tank tops or whatever because they're ashamed of their bodies. But when you're in the forest and there's a cabin and 5, 6, 7 miles, no one is around you. And it's summer and it's not cold. You can go out naked. You can go out naked and you can scream. You can climb naked on a tree. You can jump from the trees into the lake. You can swim. Whatever. You can do everything. You can be as free as the nature itself. But you can be the same in the city. But the people will judge you and you will feel uncomfortable. No one will feel comfortable running around naked in a city and making weird noises because they would get you into the hospital. I don't know. But when you're in nature, it seems like normal. I mean, A lion doesn't wear shorts or shoes. He's just walking around and do what he do.
Yeah.
He just is, and I think it's an important experience, or at least to experience this kind of experience one time in your life, to feel what real freedom is. Because most of the people think, okay, if I got a million on the bank, I'm free. But then you're still a slave to the system. If you think that way, connected to freedom, you will be your whole life a slave. Because freedom comes from inside and not from outside. And you can do stuff which most of the people will be ashamed of. And then you will see what inner freedom is. The freedom, being freed of shame, being freed of guilt, of the mindset of what others think about you. Just do what you want to do.
Right.
No matter what anyone else will think.
That's true, yeah. I think it's a good, in general, good. It would be a very interesting experience in how, my sense, it could be a very transformative experience. And coming back to the point where we started, maybe you would find your true, not only meaning, but just like the deeper part of yourself. And maybe you would start having a fantastic manifestation experience or daydreaming experiences, just because you would truly understand what you want. Because I think like most people, they struggle, and most people who are nervous and they don't know what they want, I mean, of course, it leads to a very uncomfortable mindset because they just do not know what they want. I mean, they want to know, but they just don't know where to start. And I think the place to start is to understand yourself. Everything kind of comes from there, because I feel eventually the more you go and try to listen to every, like, again, guru on the internet or something, like, I mean, guru, not like online gurus or something, people who try to sell some advice to you, the more you actually get lost, because like every time you feel you're actually so hopeless that you always feel that there is something there that should guide me, instead of thinking, oh, you know, there's something inside me that should guide me, that's way much more knowledgeable, or this source, like, you know, it's something that actually can have an opportunity to guide you. Because once you have like this mindset, or just like this understanding of reality, like just everything changes, because you don't need anyone from the outside anymore.
Yes, it's true. I would add to what you have said right now. For example, if you are not sure what you really want in life, there will be some points in your life. Maybe one day you wake up and you think, oh, it would be funny if I would write a song and upload it to Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
On the first hand, you might think it's just a thought. It's nothing more than a thought. But actually, if you are willing to do what you have thought right now, you have a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
Your life will get a little more colorful, because otherwise it's just dull and the same loop every day. So if you have a crazy thought, just do it without questioning it. Don't question yourself what will happen. Is it good? Is it bad? Will it happen? Will it fail? Doesn't matter. Just do it. Figure it out. And whatever the result is, don't go for the goal. Go for the path. And maybe 1 or 2 weeks later, you can tell your friends, hey, man, I've read a song. It's not on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And if it not happened, you can tell them, I tried it, but not worked. And then the next thought will came. I don't know. You want to bungee jump. Okay, just do it. Mm-hmm. Just try whatever spontaneously impulsive thought you can have. I mean, you shouldn't kill someone if you have this kind of thoughts. But I think you know what I mean. Just these...
Yeah.
These impulsive, spontaneous thoughts that feel like it could be a nice experience, and you're thinking about, yeah, I can't imagine myself doing that. It's easy. I've never done this, but I can imagine myself doing this easily. Then just do it. Don't question. Just go for it. And if you fail, you fail. If not, you're not.
It's I think it's as what we started with this for me at least, it's a daydreaming. It's like what you have, it's, and then once you have enough thought, an idea, you should try to unfold it as far as it can go, because sometimes you have like thoughts and yeah, you would probably unfold all of them, but you can try to unfold them a little bit. And because there is some, I don't know how it works, but again, how we, when we discussed like manifestation, it's so, it feels, I mean, at least it feels to me that it's almost like something from the future pulling me in this particular moment to act from the future to act now. I don't know whether it's source, whether it's like features already has already happened and it wants me to pull into this particular universe where I do that. But it definitely feels like something wants to unfold. I don't know how to explain. It's just, and then you have to do it. Yeah.
I would say I've experienced what you've said, and I feel it's like a calling from your, if you want to call it so far, your higher self.
Right.
And it's a calling. And if you're not following it, it will come back. And it will knock on your door every day until you follow that calling. That's what I experienced. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's weird because you think, nah, that can't be a calling. It's a weird thought. But when you follow it, you will figure out. You can't figure out if you don't do it.
Right.
And I had a calling when I wanted to make an ebook online shop and sell ebooks. So I was thinking, okay, I have time, let's do it. It will cost me $500 to build the shop and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I have that money, just do it, don't mind.
Right.
I've built the shop. 3 weeks later I was ready. I hired a marketing guy. And I figured out Facebook didn't want me to make ads. I don't know why. I tried 2 weeks running ads. Every time my account has been blocked or removed from Facebook. And I was, okay, was a nice experience. Spent $500, but don't matter. Life goes on. And the next thing came, you know. And I think it's like not every idea, not every single idea you have need to unfold until it's ready. Sometimes it's just for the experience.
Right.
And if you spend, I don't know, $500 for a failed business, who it doesn't mind, you know, it's an experience. Go on. And maybe 1 year later you want to do a business again, and then you have the experience already. You don't start from scratch because you already built a little business.
Right.
And maybe that is what the experience has been for. It just was a preparation, you know, for a bigger business or a bigger path.
Right. Yeah, you never know.
Yes, just try, just do, and
yeah.
Don't mind about the result, because life is always something in back for you.
Right. Okay, Nick, we are online for 1 hour and a half. I think we'll just have to end it here, but I'll happy to have you one more time and many more times. So, yeah.
It was a nice one. Thank you very much for inviting me.